Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Montreal bass pianist, multi-instrumentalist, and composer Andres Vile. He opened up about his new 2022 album, When Is Ancient. He's active as a leader and sideman and has performed at over 50 festivals around the world. He's released 7 albums as a leader. We get into all of this and much more. Enjoy.
Joe Domino, Neon Jazz Radio. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, hey, before we get into the new album, I want to know, you know, we went through quite a time here with COVID, and I'm curious, how did you do? How did you survive through it? How has the process changed you?
I had a few difficult moments, with my mom and stepdad getting COVID pretty early on. And my mom ended up getting long COVID. They've both since recovered pretty well. But there were definitely a bunch of difficult months in that regard. And then last year, I got long COVID, and I'm still dealing with it now. So my symptoms are kind of going up and down. So things are a little up in the air with respect to that. So that's not so fun, but I definitely feel grateful that I didn't get a lot more sick. And, I have friends that are in their 30s who were perfectly healthy, who are dealing with long COVID issues that are much more severe than my own, you know, neurological damage and inflammation and things like that. So I think everyone around the world has, some COVID story that they can relate that hits close to home. So I just feel grateful that in my case, in my family's case, it wasn't worse than what it was.
I'm curious how relieving it is to have an album out now with everything opening up.
The funny thing about When Is Ancient is that, we recorded it in the middle of the pandemic. It was definitely a really kind of cathartic experience. And, Tommy and Martin and myself, none of us had played music with others for months at that point. And, we were feeling pretty rusty, but also so happy to finally be able to play some music together. And then the album was released initially as a streaming-only album on my website on New Year's Eve 2020. And then since then, it's been released available for digital download, and now it's finally available on CD. But I think we're all excited about the possibility of being able to start playing gigs. Like, we didn't even have an album launch because everything was shut down, and then things reopened again, and then they shut down again in Montreal, and a bunch of gigs got canceled. So it's funny that we're having this interview today, because on Saturday, 2 days ago, on October 15th, was the first time that Tommy and Martin and I got to play some of the music from this album live together as part of a much bigger show with a co-led ensemble that I have with Joe Chambers that was playing in Montreal. So it was a kind of a doubly special thing for me to be able to finally play some of the music from When Is Ancient with the cast that are on the album, and then also to be able to play all this new music with my mentor, Joe Chambers.
So talk to me a little bit about how the seeds of jazz began for you. Where did the journey begin, and how did they kind of take root?
I have to say that before the age of 11 or 12, I didn't really hear too much jazz in the household. Maybe, let's say, a couple of Latin jazz records along the lines of, Stan Getz. But my parents are from Argentina and Chile, so I grew up hearing a lot of South American folkloric music, as well as a lot of classical music. My dad was an amateur classical pianist, so there was tons of Liszt and Chopin, and Beethoven being played by him in the house, and everybody in the family either took piano lessons or played, one instrument or another. But then when I was, I want to say 11 or 12, my mom came home with 2 albums. It was a Dizzy Gillespie live record and then John Coltrane's Blue Train. And it was Blue Train that really hit me hard. And that really changed the course, of my career. I've always known that I was, a musician, and there was never any question that I was going to be a musician for my life. But jazz became, a central part of my musical, you know, interest and expression shortly after that. And basically that's kind of guided my path through my career ever since then. Even though I've, you know, sort of sidestepped and played in other genre situations and kind of different musical situations where a few different genres are fused together, or, you know, but jazz has always been central to my musical expression for sure.
So talk to me a little bit about the very first jazz show you ever saw. What was that experience like?
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to think back. I think probably the first shows that I saw would have been concerts that were put on by the music faculty at my high school and kind of local teachers that were involved in the community and presenting music for, you know, for the youth, basically. So this is going way back. I'm trying to think of what the first concert would be, you know? I'm drawing a blank, but I can think of some concerts that I saw as a teenager at the Montreal Jazz Festival that made an impact. I got to see Max Roach and Mal Waldron duo, which was totally incredible. I think maybe I was 16 at the time. What else? Well, another one certainly wasn't one of my first jazz concerts, but it was definitely really impactful and another kind of moment that changed the course of my life was seeing Joe Chambers in 1999 at Upstairs Jazz Club in Montreal. I also got to see him give a master class at McGill, and it was heavy. It was a deep experience, and it was amazing to hear him talk about the history of the music and also connected to wider ideas around syncretism and acculturation and the way that New World music evolved in the Americas, and the way he was able to connect that to understanding, you know, basically the legacy of colonialism and slavery and this kind of shared history that exists in the Americas, where you have music that was created by descendants of enslaved Africans, but also collaborating with, you know, immigrants from other places and settlers and people of different cultures. And of course, you know, jazz has this mix of different influences, especially the African and the European, but also there's indigenous influences there. And that's something that you, when you learn about music from other places in the Americas, you start to realize that maybe the percentage of, you know, European influence versus African influence versus indigenous influence might be different, but, you know, there are a lot of similarities. And in fact, there are a lot of common histories there and shared roots. So this is something that I think Joe, as a composer and a musician, has always been interested in, and it's something that I've been interested in for a long time as well. And so hearing him talk about that and then, you know, hearing him play at Upstairs was just an amazing experience. And actually, he was teaching at the New School at the time, and that inspired me to want to apply to the New School to go and study with him. Because at the time, I was actually playing a lot more drums and vibes than I was piano. Piano is my first instrument, but when I was in my teens, I sort of gravitated more towards playing vibes and piano. And so after this concert that Joe gave, I spoke to him, and he told me more about the program at the New School. And initially I applied as a drummer, got in as a drummer, and did one semester. And while I was there, I realized that, you know, I really wanted to play more piano. So I took a semester off and then re-auditioned to get back in on piano, and ended up doing the degree on piano. But while I was there, I got to play in Joe's jazz percussion ensemble. So I played vibes in that ensemble for a year, which was an amazing experience as well.
Let me ask you this. Everyone has a perception of you, an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Wow. That's a big question. Well, I don't know if I can answer that in a 15-minute interview, but I can definitely tell you that in terms of who I am, how I understand myself and my relationship to music, I consider it my spiritual practice. And in fact, my psychological, emotional well-being, you know, largely depends on that practice. If I don't get a chance to, you know, play the piano for a couple of days, I can start to get pretty dark and miserable. So it's definitely playing music, whether it's just, you know, playing alone at home, you know, that's one thing. And of course, there's the experience of playing music with other musicians and sharing that with the public. That's a totally different thing. Those are all such essential parts of you know, who I am and how I relate to other people, but also how I process everything that's going on in my own life and how I'm able to connect to the ancestors, connect to this, you know, whatever you want to call it, the higher power or the thing that connects us all. For me, you know, music is the major conduit for that. And I guess just to go back to, you know, talking about the pandemic, that was definitely one of the most difficult parts of it, was, you know, to go from playing, you know, two or three gigs a week to suddenly not playing any. You know, it was really difficult for me, as I'm sure it was for so many musicians. But I think in that instance, the part that was most difficult for me, as far as music goes, was being able to feel a connection with other musicians and that shared experience of being on stage and sharing a moment with the musicians and the audience. You know, that's such a special thing. And I've been doing this my whole life. So, you know, certainly my adult life, you know, throughout my career. So to suddenly have that disappear was difficult, of course.
Hey, man, this has been great. Thank you for taking a minute out to talk about the album and your life and music. I really appreciate it. Good luck with everything.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Montreal, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Andres for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino on the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz at youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the neonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends. I want to tip you off to a wonderful program I found out about. As we expand our reach, we have made some friends out there in the world that love jazz as much as we do. This program is fully endorsed by Neon Jazz.
Gerald Albright, Rhea Schneider, Charlie Hunter, Duke Robillard, Sean Jones, Walter Beasley, Steve Swallow. Something Came from Baltimore is a jazz, blues, and R&B podcast and radio show, and it's not really about Baltimore. Subscribe to the podcast and listen to your favorite artist or future favorite artist. That Something Came from Baltimore, and be a part of that Be More Music scene. Joe Lovano, Jeff Kaufman, Paula Cole, Danuzo Makatani, Ann Passio, Chess Smith, Thumbscrew.
Neon Jazz.